cutting through an overload of information to get to the heart of the story. This is The Point.
You can't eat democracy. Zambia's President Hichilema put it bluntly last year. It is a stark reminder that governance isn't just about abstract ideals, it's about food on the table also. An international survey on democracy conducted in 30 countries found people in developed countries have a very low level of trust in their politicians. They believe they don't work in people's best interests. That's 29% for the United States, 20% in the UK, 12% in Japan, and so on and so forth. But in developing countries, the number is much higher. China, for instance, leads by a whopping 76%. That's a clear slap in the face for Western politicians who invoke democracy incessantly. Let's delve into how China's democracy is able to win that high level of trust. Welcome to a special two-part series called China, Democracy That Delivers. I'm Liu Xin in Beijing. And I have a very special co-host who's making its debut. Yes, its debut. But first, let's meet our distinguished panelists. They are from New York, Dr. Robert Lawrence Kuhn, chairman of the Kuhn Foundation. From Marseille, France, David Ferguson, honorary chief English editor of China's Foreign Languages Press. Here in the studio, Xia Lu, research fellow of the National Academy of Development and Strategies of Renmin University of China, and Ms. Miao Xiaojuan, journalist from Xinhua News Agency, China's official news agency. So the warmest welcome to all my panelists. But first, let's meet, as I promised, my AI co-host Liu Xiaoxing, literally meaning mini Xing. In fact, Xiaoxing also means in Chinese, be careful. It's an AI animated version of me based on my image and voice. She might not be as charming as I, but she can regurgitate everything we feed her. And in today's case, it comes from ChatGPT, and it's about democracy and China. So let's bring her on. Hello, Xiaoxing. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Liu Xin. I am pleased to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
According to ChatGPT, what are the three most prominent aspects that developed countries care most about Chinese democracy?
The three most prominent aspects that developed countries prioritize regarding Chinese democracy include its adherence to universal standards of human rights and political freedoms, the transparency and accountability of its governance practices, and the extent of citizen participation in decision-making processes. These aspects serve as indicators of China's commitment to democratic principles and directly influence its standing in the international community, trade relations, and regional stability.
What about people in developing countries? What are the three most prominent aspects they care most about Chinese democracy?
Developing countries are primarily interested in three key aspects of Chinese democracy. First, its ability to promote economic development and poverty reduction strategies. Second, its approach to governance that prioritizes stability and social order. And third, its model of state-led development that offers an alternative to Western democratic norms. These aspects resonate with developing nations seeking paths to progress that are compatible with their own cultural and political contexts, while also addressing pressing socioeconomic challenges.
And finally, why do developed countries and developing countries perceive Chinese democracy so differently?
Differences in how developed and developing countries perceive Chinese democracy arise from distinct priorities. Developed nations emphasize human rights and transparency, while developing countries prioritize economic development and stability. Developed countries view Chinese democracy through universal values, whereas developing nations see it as a viable alternative aligned with their governance experiences and progress goals. These varied perspectives reflect the interplay of political ideologies, global dynamics, and local priorities shaping perceptions of Chinese democracy globally.
Thank you, Xiaoxing, for your presentation. Very interesting, and please stay with us.
You are welcome. I'll be here.
Making room for all opinions and seeing events from more than one side. This is The Point.
All right, let's bring in our panelists, real people now. And let me go first to Dr. Kuhn there. Dr. Kuhn, is this the first time that you hear such a presentation? What do you think of the answers that we got from ChatGPT? Do they more or less reflect in the real world how people in developed countries and developing countries perceive China's democracy?
I think in general it is correct. I would be hesitant to generalize too quickly. It's a complex story to understand properly. What I think is most interesting is to focus on China's democracy and to understand not only how it works, but how important it is. And I like to start with the big picture, which is, as President Xi Jinping puts it, the great rejuvenation of the Chinese nation. And the way that is described is by six aspirational adjectives. These are adjectives to define what the great rejuvenation of China would look like. And without going in detail, prosperous, strong, I'm going to skip the third, culturally advanced, harmonious, and beautiful. But the third I left out was democratic. So the third aspirational adjective that China uses, that President Xi uses to describe China, is democratic. And I think that alone would surprise some people in developing countries that China puts that on such a high level, the highest possible level. And so then what we have to do is drill down and understand what China means by the concept of democracy. Yeah. And it is, simply put, it has a broader meaning in China than it does yeah. in most developed countries.
Dr. Kuhn, very interesting points you brought up, but let's come back to that in just a moment. But let me go to my guest in Marseille, France. Thank you so much, David. What do you think explains the different perceptions of China's democracy in people in developed countries and developing countries? Do you think Xiaoxing's presentation was more or less, you know, a reflection of reality?
Well, I think it takes time, Leocene, for AI to develop an understanding of nuance and an ability to express nuance. And I think what we heard there was what we would expect from a relatively underdeveloped understanding of democracy. I think at the same time, it was a relatively accurate portrayal of how people in the West perceive democracy. And they think of democracy, it's about votes, it's about elections, it's about getting to choose your leaders, it's about freedom of speech, it's about transparency. What is much more interesting to me, and I'm sure that we will explore this in more detail in the next hour, is what do these things look like in reality? How does the reality match up to the ideals?
Let's get back to that, certainly, and we will talk about different concepts, different approach, different understanding of the idea democracy. Let me come back to my guests here in the studio. And Xiaoxing, let me get to you first, because you have done extensive field work in China. You, for instance, did this film about mayors in China, and you went into their meeting rooms, you went into their consultation sessions, and saw firsthand how decisions are made in China. So do you agree, for instance, with what Xiaoxing find out on ChatGPT about China's emphasis or China's priorities when it comes to democratic decision making?
Thank you. So when I looked into the answers, Xiaoxing, I think it's very interesting. It's also complicated, but I wouldn't say I agree with her 100%. For me...
Do you not agree with, for instance?
I agree with the priority part, saying that developing countries share similar priorities. But I think for the developed nations, it's not just about priorities. I think the reason behind their conclusion comes largely from prejudice. So developed nations tend to think there's only one form of democracy, which is Western democracy, that is defined by multiple parties and elections every several years. And any democracy or any system that's different from Western system cannot possibly be democratic. So when Western countries look into Chinese democracy, one, they tend to ignore the outcomes or the ends of Chinese democracy. And secondly, they also turn a blind eye to the means or the procedures of Chinese democracy, which is how elections work in China. So that leads to the conclusion that China does not have democracy, which is not true. And on the other hand, developing countries, I think they tend to be more open-minded towards Chinese democracy because they look into both the ends and the means of democracy. And also they are seeking good governance. They're looking for development. They prioritize development and bettering the lives of its citizens. That's why it's as much as what China is doing right now. That's why they can see that Chinese government succeeds in delivering results and bettering the lives of the citizens. That's when they recognize that's democracy in action.
Making room for all opinions and seeing events from more than one side. This is The Point.
Let me go to Mr. Xia here. Very interesting discussion we already have. If you ask any person in the West about democracy, they will tell you that it comes from a Greek word, that it come from demel and kratos, which means people and power respectively. So in essence, they say democracy about power of the people, but there's not a definition as to how this power of the people can be exercised, and somehow it's innately assumed that that is through the Western liberal way of decision making. Mm-hmm. What is your understanding? How is China's political system a form of exercising the power of the people or allowing the people to exercise their power?
Before I answer this question, I would like to get back to the previous one a little bit, the difference between developed nation and developing nation.
Sure.
In terms of the perception of Chinese democracy. Actually, the people in developed nation or developed country, their idea or their understanding about democracy is more about, simplistic, much simplistic. They have this kind of understanding about democracy. First, they think democracy can solve every problem, every issue, as much as the democracy have already solved their problem. Secondly, they think there is one standardized democratic practice for all of the world, for all of the country. Well, for the first kind of assumption or hypothesis, I would like to raise an example of an African country. This country is Liberia, and this country actually was one of the earliest independent nations in Africa. Well, actually, it got independence in 1854 when China was still under Qing kind of empire rule. Back then, the Taiping Rebellion was still there. But how did it do, or how has it been doing, the Liberia doing 100 years later? It's not like they thought. So still within the list of the so-called failed nation or failed state. So that means democracy couldn't solve every problem, right? And also, of course, Liberia, the democracy in Liberia just copied the model of the United States in the mid of 19th century. And the second thing is that what we have seen in the report of President Xi Jinping in the 20th National Congress of the CPC. Well, the democracy or the other kind of common value have already been upholded and advanced by the CPC. So that means China or the Chinese leadership has already stand in the value of democracy. But the difference is that different people in different countries should have their own understanding about how democracy should work and how democracy should solve their own problem. Because different countries have different problem, then democracy should have different, you know, a variant to solve this problem. That's my understanding in this point.
Well, a very quick going back to the fundamental question which Dr. Kuhn raised there, I think more or less we touched upon a very fundamental question, which is the different definition or different approach to democracy. Dr. Kuhn, what is the definition of democracy according to China, according to the CPC, and how is that different from those in the West?
China's concept of democracy is a broader one. It goes well beyond the one person, one vote, multi-party system of freedom of speech, free media. That is one part. One of the problems I think our discussion is having, we're taking two concepts, one of development and one of democracy, and homogenizing them. Those are two separate concepts. It's like Venn diagrams. They intersect, but they're two completely different subjects. And each one can be addressed. And I think what is most admired about China in the developing world is China's development. Now, that articulates with the concept of democracy, but it's not the same thing. So we have to be careful on what model we talk about. China's democracy works for China at this point, and that needs to be appreciated and understood. And we can really explain that. I had spent several years in the understanding the anti-poverty, the poverty alleviation campaign, and how that works for roughly 100 million Chinese people. That's part of China's democracy. But it's also, in Western sense, that would be China's development. And so we have to understand the differences between the two. From China's point of view, democracy is results-oriented, as other panelists are saying. It deals with anti-poverty, common prosperity, building the country. All of those things are part of China's development. And the democracy part of it is engaging the people more so in the process of governance. It's not through elections of senior leaders, but it's through a multiple series of things that China uses, from local elections at the very local level, to the anti-corruption campaign. We have to understand the real differences.
Right. Let me bring in a small case. A party secretary of the community level party committee by the name of Tan Dao Liang. He has been working in this job for over 20 years, and his main responsibility is to take care of 200 plus people who live in the community and coordinate their different needs and aspirations and solve problems for them on a daily basis. Let's take a look at this package and continue our discussion.
In this densely populated community, a construction project has drawn some complaints from the residents. Under Secretary Tan's leadership, the residents and the construction company understood each other better. They were more willing to think in each other's shoes and consider each other's needs.
Making room for all opinions and seeing events from more than one side. This is The Point.
So basically, we're talking about the protagonist, Mr. Tan, was trying to solve a problem for the community because of disruptions caused by noises on a nearby construction site. How he solved the problem. Miao, you, as I said, you went to different cities and followed the footsteps of four mayors in their decision making. What's the difference between the Chinese way of solving problems, taking into consideration the interests and aspirations of different interest groups, and what we see in an international setting, maybe?
Thank you for the question.
What's the most striking feature that you have
observed in your investigation?
This grassroots party secretary, obviously, for one, he has been working for the community for many years, more than 20 years. So that means he must have earned the trust of the locals. Mm. And secondly, I noticed that he was paying attention to details and he was listening to the villagers and trying to figure out what they really want, and he respects them, and then they comes to conclusions or solutions together. So as you were asking about what struck me the most, I would agree with Dr. Kuan said earlier about the engagement or the commitment of the local government to help and communicate with the local citizens first and to take care of their needs. Usually when they make a decision, because the decision-making process has to be both democratic and effective. So when they wanted to make something happen or get something done, they always solicit public opinion. They often come up with innovative ideas with the help of both the locals and expertise. Mm. Western democracy is mostly about campaigns and promises, but in China, democracy is about delivering results, about capabilities and performance. Okay. So what drives all the officials to serve the people, for one, they do have noble missions. They know their job is to serve the people. And they also know that if they cannot deliver results, if they cannot improve the lives of the people, they won't get any promotion.
Okay.
So their performance is the most important thing.
The career is on the line.
Yes.
David, what do you think is the different style of engagement between the Chinese way of soliciting different opinion and coming to a decision and the Western way of doing the same thing?
The fundamental principle of the Chinese system is that it is about consultation and cooperation and consensus. It's about people coming together to try to identify the right thing to do and to make sure it happens. The Western system is completely different. It's based on competition and it's based on confrontation and it's based on conflict. And they boast about that. They make a virtue of that. The problem is that most normal people don't enjoy conflict. They don't actually enjoy conflict in their family or with their friends or at work. So you have a system that encourages people who do enjoy conflict, people who want power for the sake of power, you have a system that encourages these people to flourish. It nurtures these people, it brings them to the top. So on the one hand, you have a system that brings out the worst in people and gives them the right of governance. And on the other hand, you have a system that tries to encourage people who actually want to do good for society and want to do good for mm-hmm. people. And I think that's where the fundamental difference lies between the two systems. Mm.
Dr. Kuan, I wonder what is your take on the same question? And some people would say, look, there are cases where democracy is failing in people in some societies, but by and large, it gives people have the impression that the system has been working. You know, that if one government has not performed, then people voted out, and like that, you have accountability. That's how they would say it. What is your reaction, Dr. Kuan?
Sure, it's a complex question. David and I agree on many things. I would not entirely agree with his last presentation on the differences between the systems. And I think you're hitting on a primary point, and that is not just accountability, but checks and balances. There's no perfect system. I mean, no system on earth has been God-given as the ultimate system for all time working. That's not the case. We're looking in a complex world for optimization. What are the optimal ways of doing things? And it continuously changes. And that's one of the benefits of what the CPC has done. They're willing to change within certain limits over time and testing things with with pilot free trade zones and specific policies that they test in different areas before rolling it out. So all that is very, very good. But to oversimplify that democracy doesn't work and development, we're confusing a lot of different terms here. We need to distinguish between development and democracy. What is it about China's society that makes it successful over this time in terms of development? That's a deep question to understand, and it's many levels, and it's fascinating.
Many thanks once again to all my guests, Dr. Robert Lawrence Kuhn joining us from New York, chairman of the Kuhn Foundation, David Ferguson joining us from Marseille, France, who is honorary chief English editor of China's Foreign Languages Press, Xia Lu, research fellow of the National Academy of Development and Strategies from Renmin University of China, and Miao Xiaojuan, journalist from China's official Xinhua News Agency. Thank you very much. That's it for this special program, China, Democracy That Delivers.
The best military commander is not he who fights 100 battles and wins every one of them. The best military strategy does not lead to the desiccation of the enemy's capital city. Decoding the Art of War will help you understand why there's no art in war and how Sun Tzu stayed undefeatable using the science of war, with fun stories and insightful breakdown of famous battles. Tune in to Decoding the Art of War on Spotify.
2,500 years ago, an old man rode on his buffalo and headed west of China. Before he vanished into the wild, he left behind a book of 5,000 words, which for the next 2.5 millennia would have shaped the Chinese way of thinking. Subscribe to the Sayings of Lao Tzu and find out why generals with wisdom yield after winning the ultimate battle, and how staying behind just might help you get ahead of others. The Sayings of Lao Tzu is available on all major podcast platforms.